Today's daf is Sukkah daf Nun Aleph, and we are about 20 lines from the top of daf Nun Aleph Amid Aleph v'Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba Omar. Today's daf is being learned as a schos refuah shalema for Shlomo ben Zara Aliza, Avadya ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devora, Devora bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Baruch Bendit ben Devora Hinda, Yitzchak Meir ben Miral, Yehuda Leib ben Basha, and Tamar Bas Chasida Fruma Rivka. Today's daf's also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Reb Pinchas Elio Ben Reb Arya Leib. That was Judge Buxton, an old family friend, a very regal and dignified man. May today's learning be a schus for his neshama. So yesterday we began the fifth and final perek of Maseches Sukkah, Perek HaChalil, which deals with really one of the last remaining topics of the Yontif of Sukkos that we haven't discussed yet in great detail, and that is the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And the Mishnah began by mentioning that the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, although it's associated with the Yontif of Sukkos, but didn't happen every single day of Sukkos. In fact, it only happened on Chol HaMoed. Not just that, only on Chol HaMoed when it fell out b'Yemos HaChol. Meaning the Simchas Beis HaShoeva was not Doiche Shabbos, it wasn't even Doiche Yontif. And it's for that reason the Mishnah says, HaChalil Chamisha V'Shisha. Sometimes it was 5 days, sometimes it was 6 days. Meaning it was not Doiche Shabbos and Yontif. The Gemara on Daf Nun Amid Beis brought a Braisa, which also mentioned a halacha related to a chalil. Tanu Rabbanan, hachalil doiche es haShabbos divrei Rabbi Yosi v'Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim Moimrim af Yontif einoi doiche. Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that the chalil is doiche Shabbos and it's doiche Yontif. The Chachamim said not only is it not doiche Shabbos, but it's not even doiche Yontif. And Rabbi Yosi said that even though it would be very tempting to explain this braisa as talking about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the title of this braisa is HaChalil, the title of the perek, the Mishnah that we began was HaChalil, but really the Chalil of the Mishnah and the Chalil of that braisa are talking about two completely different things. That Chalil is discussing the musical instruments that were played at the time that certain karbonos were brought. So one of the things that accompanied many karbonos was Nisuch HaYayin, one of the topics of the end of the previous parak. And at the time of the Nisuch HaYayin, there were Levim that were Beshirim uvezimram, and there were Levim that were singing with their mouths, Hayoyim Yoyim, Ploini B'Shabbos Shaboy Hoyo HaLevim Oymrim B'Veis HaMikdash. There were Levim, or according to some Tanam, maybe Lav Davki Levim, that were playing with musical instruments, and it was those instruments, said Rabbi Yosef, the Amayra, that the Tanam were arguing. Were those instruments Doiche Shabbos and Yontif, or were they not Doiche Shabbos? But as it relates to the Chalil of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, that's a Stam Mishnah, HaChalil Chamisha V'Shisha, and the reason is because She'enoi Doicha Loyes HaShabbos V'Loyes HaYontif, nobody ever argued that point. There's no Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda that holds that the Chalil of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva was really Doicha Shabbos HaYontif. Either way, that Shita of Rabbi Yosef is the first of two opinions how to explain the price. So today's daf is going to begin with the second opinion. Says the Gemara of Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba Amar. Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba said the machloikis in the braisa that was mentioned on Daf Nun Amid Beis, the machloikis between Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim, whether the Chalil was Doicha Shabbos and Yontif was not Doicha Shabbos and Yontif, it was talking precisely about the Shir Shal Shoeva. The machloikis was regarding the Chalil of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Sava, Simcha Yaseir, Nami Doicha HaShabbos. It's because Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, it was there for Simcha Yaseir. We'll see what that means later. Was Doicha Shabbos. Rabbanan, sorry, the Rabbanan of the opinion, Simcha Yaseir, Ene Doicha HaShabbos. It's not Doicha Shabbos. Avibel Shir Shal Karbon. You want to know the musical instruments that were played at the time that Karbonos were brought? Divrei HaKol Avoidah. Everybody holds that was an Avoidah. V'Doicha HaShabbos, and it's going to be Doicha Shabbos. In other words, Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba explained Machloikis, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim in the exact opposite of the way Rabbi Yosef did. According to Rabbi Yosef, the Machloikis, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudin, the Chacham, Chalil, Doicha Shabbos Yontif, not Doicha Shabbos Yontif, is talking specifically about the Chalil that was brought B'Shas the Karbonos. What about the Chalil of Simchas Beis HaSheva? Everybody agrees it's not Doicha Shabbos Yontif. Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba said just the opposite. The Machloikis was Dafka regarding the Chalil of Simchas Beis HaSheva. As it relates to the Chalil that was played at the time the Karbonos were brought, everybody agrees that it would be Doicha Shabbos Yontif. Freak the Gemara Akash, Mesave, Shir Shal Shoyeva, Abraisa, Doicha HaShabbos. The Shira of Simchas Beis HaShoeva was Doicha Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim Oimrim and the Chachamim said, Af Yontif ain't Doicha, it's not even Doicha Yontif. Says the Gemara, this is a Mefurish Abraisa. Again, when we learn a Gemara, and the Gemara brings a bunch of different braises, so every braise is going to have a nuance, it's going to have a knach that you're not going to see in a previous braise. What do you see in this braise? Machloikis Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether the music was Doicha Shabbos and Yontif was not Doicha Shabbos and Yontif, but over here the braise says one word, Shir Shel Shoyeva. The braise on Daf Nun Amud Beis said, HaChalil. Which Chalil? Is it the Chalil of Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Is it the Chalil of the Karbonis? We don't know. But this is a clear braise. Shir Shel Shoyeva. Doicha Es HaShabbos, Divir Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Chalim say, Af Yontif Ene Doicha. Again, it's the same Tanam. Clearly, it's the same Machloikis. And if that's the case, what do you see from the braise? The Machloikis was Dafka regarding Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Who said that? Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba. If that's the case, this braisa is mevur very clearly, not like Rabbi Yosef. And the Gemara says, Tiyufta de Rabbi Yosef Tiyufta. And if that's the case, checkmate on Shitas Rabbi Yosef. You see, clearly they were arguing about the Chalil of the Shoyeva. Says the Gemara, Lema Beshir Shal Shoyeva Hu Depligi. Can we infer another thing from this braisa? Meaning, it sounds like the Machloikis, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim was regarding the Chalil of the Shoyeva. Or in this braisa, the word is the Shir of the Shoyeva. Same difference. It sounds a little bit like the Homachloikis is regarding the Shoyeva. But as it relates to the Shir of the Karban, the Chalil of the Karban, everybody would agree that it's Doicha Shabbos. Now, if that's the case, then Lema Tiyavit Yufta de Rabbi Yosef Petarti. So the Gemara does this sometimes. Meaning, even though Rabbi Yosef Shita was technically knocked out already from the Braisa that the Gemara just quoted, in fact, the Gemara invoked the immortal words, Tiyufta de Rabbi Yosef, Tiyufta. There's no coming back from that. But at the same time, the Gemara says, really, we have a tiufta on half of the equation. We have a tiufta on one of the two things that Rabbi Yosef said. Rabbi Yosef said there was no machloikis regarding Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Everybody agrees the Chalil of the Shoeva is not Doicha Shabbos and Yontif. Here it's a braisa that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda holds that it is Doicha Shabbos and Yontif. The question is there a tiufta on the other thing Rabbi Yosef said? What was that other thing? That Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim argued whether or not the Chalil of the Karbanis was Doicha Shabbos and Yontif. In other words, according to Rav Yosef, the Chachamim held that not only was the Chalil of Shoyeva not Doicha Shabbos and Yontif, but even the Chalil of Karbanis was not Doicha Shabbos and Yontif. From this Machloikis, it sounds a little bit like the whole debate amongst the Tanaim was the Shir Shel Shoyeva. But as it relates to the Shir of Karbanis, maybe everybody holds it is Doicha. So if that's the case, it's Tiufta Betarti. It's a Tiufta on Rav Yosef's understanding of Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. He said Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda was only Mata the Chalil of Karbanis, not of Shoyeva. Tiufta the Rabbi Yosef, Tiufta, you see in the Braisa not that way. But it's also a Tiufta on Rabbi Yosef's understanding of the Chachamim. Because Rabbi Yosef said, Aliba the Chachamim, the Shir of the Karbanis is not going to be Doicha. It would seem, imply, again, it's not Mefurish, but it would seem a little bit like the Machloikis is only regarding the Shoyeva, not regarding the Karbanis. But the Gemara says, Amalucha Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef will tell you, now, that already I don't think is Muchach. That you can't say Tiufta the Rabbi Yosef, Tiufta. It's a Ha'ara. But you can't say Tiufta the Rabbi Yosef, Tiufta. Why not? Because Rabbi Yosef will tell you, Pligi Beshir Shal Shoyeva, Vuadin Lekarbin. Maybe really you see from this Braisa that there was a Machloikis, Rabbi Yosef, Rehudan, the Chachamim regarding the Shir Shal Shoyeva, which Rabbi Yosef will have no choice but to consider. And say, I hear, Tiufta, but at the same time, maybe for who had been the carbon. Could be they would have argued regarding carbon as well. In other words, even the Chachamim would agree that by the carbon, it's not going to be okay. If that's the case, so why did they argue regarding the Shir Shal Shoyeva? The Braisa does this sometimes. They wanted to emphasize the Shita of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Da filo de Shoyeva, nami doichi. Wanted to show that according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, not only is the Chalil of the Karbanis doicha, but even the Chalil of this Shoyeva. That's why the Braisa was talking in terms of Shoyeva. You want to know what would be if it wasn't Shoyeva? You want to know what would would be if it was karbonis, Chama would have said the same thing. Chama would have said that it's not doicha. Now you'll ask, so if that's the case, so why didn't the Braisa better talk about the shear of the karbonis, like the yach koicha the chachamim, that even the shear of karbonis is not doicha Shabbos and Yontiv? So the Gemara sometimes will ask this question, sometimes it doesn't, in our Gemara it doesn't, but the teretz is always the same. Koich de tera adif. Anytime the Braisa can bring out the biggest chiddush possible, we always bring out the biggest chiddush in the Mekel, not in the Machmer. This is something that's going to play out prominently in Masechtas Beis Daf Beis, which is right around the corner. But either way, says the Gemara, if that's the case, you have no raya, not like Rabbi Yosef regarding the second thing, just the first, the Gemara, Bahadik Tani Zeo Chalul Shabes Hashayeva, says the Gemara, Sheinu Doicha Loyas Hashabes, Veloyas, says the, who hadn't looked up, Haidik Mevich Shayeva, the Achakach, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah, Filo Shayeva, Nami Doich, says the Gemara, another heart. Bahadik Tani, going back to our Mishnah, that said, Zeo Chalul Shabes Hashayeva, Sheinu Doicha Loyas Hashabes, Veloyas Yant. So again, we started off with a Mishnah that discussed Simchas Beis Hashayeva, the Chalil, the flute, that it's not doicha Shabbos and Yontif. But then the Gemara immediately brought a braisa that mentioned the machloikis Rabbi Yosef Yehuda and the Chachamim, and a major machloikis Amira, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Meir Bar Abba, had to understand this braisa. So now the Gemara is going to close the loop, and we're going to go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, HaChalil Chamisha V'Shisha. And then the Mishnah said, Zehu HaChalil. This is the Chalil Shembeis HaShe'evo, She'enu Doicha Lois HaShabbos V'Lois Yontif. So the Mishnah is clear that the Mishnah says that the Chalil of the She'evo wasn't Doicha Shabbos and Yontif. But there's one word that the Gemara is going to pick on a little bit, and that is Zehu. Says the Gemara that when the Mishnah said that the Chalil is not Doicha Shabbos and Yontif, it sounds a little bit like Zehu. This one is the Enei Doicha. Avol the Karben Doicha. But the one that was played at the time the karbonis were brought really would be daicha. Meaning, the point of the Mishnah is that the Chalil of Sheyeva wasn't daicha Shabbos and Yontif. But that one word is mashma, that it's teaching us another halacha. Agav urche kamashmola. That it's only this Chalil that's not daicha, but the Chalil of the karbon was. So the Gemara says, Mani, who is the Tana of this Mishnah? In Emir Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Isn't the Tana of the Mishnah of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? It can't be. Ha'amar shil shol Sheyeva nami daicha. We just said, Tiufta de Rabbi Yosef Tiufta. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds that the share of the Sheyeva was daicha. Elav Rabbanan. Obviously, it's going according to the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan are the ones that in this price of the Gemara brought hold that the share of the Sheyeva was not doicha. And if that's the case, what do you see the Rabbanon hold? That the shear of the Sheyeva was not doicha, but the shear of the carbon was doicha. And if that's the case, this is already tiufta the Rabbi Yosef betarti tiufta. That's already not like both Rabbi Yosefs. Number one, you see that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, that said the shear shel Sheyeva was doicha, he clearly holds that that's true even for the shear of the Simcha Space HaShe'eva, that was the braisa that the Gemara brought, and from the diak of the word Zehu, that you see there's a Tana that holds the shear shel She'eva is not doicha, but the shear of Karbonis is doicha, it's only this one that's not, but the other one is, that must be the Chachamim, and you see the Chachamim hold that the shear of the carbon was doicha, and that's the other chelik of what Rabbi Yosef said, says the Gemara. Going back to Shitas Rabbi Yosef for one more moment, so the way Rabbi Yosef explained the machloikis between Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim, HaChalil Doichas HaShabbos Yontif, the Chalil is not Doichas HaShabbos Yontif. We're not talking about the Chalil of Sheyeva, but rather we're talking about the Chalil of the Karbonis. And there was a machloik, is that Chalil, was it Doichas HaShabbos or was it not? Again, Tiyufta, the Rabbi Yosef, Tiyufta, not only Bechada, even Betarti, but that was Rabbi Yosef Shita. And Rabbi Yosef explained, what's the Hezbro, the machloik, is the way I understand it. The machloik says, what is the Iker Mitzvah of Shira? Is the Iker Mitzvah of Shira the singing, or was the Iker Mitzvah of Shira the music that was played at the time of the singing? Ikas shira b'peh or ikas shira b'kli? And that seemed to be a machloikis. The Gemara on the top of Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph said, could be that's the Hezbron, the machloikis in the Mishnah, and Erech and Daf Yud, that had a whole shaila, who used to play the music? Were they Dafke Leviim? Maybe Yisraelim Yuchasim? Maybe even Avadim? If Ikashira is bepass, it doesn't really matter who plays the music. If Ikashira is beklis, so it's avoida. Taisva says in Erechim Yud Aleph, a czar that does this avoida is even chai misa. You have to be very careful. You have to make sure only someone that has the credentials to do it is going to do it. But again, a machloikis, whether Ikashira is beklis, Ikashira is bepass. So the Gemara says, my time, the mandam Ikashira beklis. What's the hezber? What's the source of the mandam that says Ikashira is beklis? The chsiv, it's learned from a pasik in Divrei Hayomim Beis, Perichov Tes, Pasuk of Zayin. The pasik says, Vayoymer Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu said, "Lahalois ha'oilo la'mizbech, that you should take the oil and you should put it on the mizbech." So we're bringing karbonis now. Ubeheis heichel la'oilo, and at the time that the oil was brought, heichel shir Hashem, the shir of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, began. And there were trumpets that were playing. And there were the clay David Melech Yisrael that were playing. And these clay David are referring to clay shir, Rashi says. These were instruments. So you see that at the time the karbanos were brought, there were instruments. It's mashma. This was the Ikar Shira. The Pasuk is describing the Shira Hashem. What was it? Clay David Melech Yisrael. So you see that Ikar Shira is Bekli. My time with the Mandam Ikar Shira Bepeh. What's behind the Mandam of the Holes? Ikar Shira Bepeh. Dechsev. That's also learned out from a Pasuk in Divrei Yom and Beis. But this is in Perikei, Pasuk Yud Gimel. The Pasuk over there says, Vayihi Ke'echod La Mechatzrim V'la Meshoyrerim. So the Mechatzrim were the people that played with the Chatzoytzris. They played with the trumpets. The Meshoyrerim were the singers. La Shmiya Koil Echod. And they were making sound, they were singing with one voice in harmony, in unison. Lahalel ulahoidois lashem, ukaharim koil bachatsoitsoit, ubimitsaltaim, ubikleshir, vechulu vechulu. Says the Gemara, so what do you see from here? Vaihi keechod, lamechatsritrim, lamechatsrim, velamishoirim. Mishoirim sounds like they were singing. So it doesn't mention anything about an instrument. If it doesn't say anything about an instrument, it sounds like that Ikashir is Bepet. Now Rashi says, it doesn't say anything about an instrument, it says trumpets. What's a trumpet? It's not an instrument. So Rashi asks the Kasha, and Rashi says, "V'chatzoytzroitz lav klei shir ninu, shehein l'tkiyos hatmidim v'amusofen." The chatzoytzroitz served a different purpose. They weren't there to make nice music, and as a result, the pasuk that describes the Ikar Shira mentions the mechatzrim, which is not a klei shir, and then it says mesheirim, sounds like people that are singing. So the bottom line is, ikar shir is bepeh. Zok the Gemara of Idach Nami Yoksiv Hayom Yecheskiyo, the mandama that says ikar shir is bepeh, what are you going to do with the pasuk in Divrei Hayom and Beis Perek Chavtes? Over there, it sounds like there were klei David Melech Yisrael. It sounds like there were definitely instruments being played. So the Gemara says, hachi kama, this is what the pasuk means. Hachel shir Hashem bepeh, al yidei klei David Melech Yisrael, l'psumei kol. Meaning, of course the pasuk mentions instruments, but it doesn't mean the instruments are ikar shir. Just means they were there. We know they were there. No one's debating whether they were there or not. They were there for sure to enhance the music. The question is, what's the ikar? Ikar shir is bepeh, ikar shir is bekli. L'may nafkamina, the Gemara said there's nafkaminas. But just because they were there doesn't necessarily mean it's the ikar. V'edach nami, the man that says ikar shir is bekli, haksiv ahi ke'echa l'machatzrim v'la mishayrim. Over there, the pasuk talks about the mishayrim. It doesn't seem to say anything about instruments, so it sounds like ikar shir is bepeh. Hachikama mishayrim dumya de mechatzrim. Ma mechatzrim bekli, af mishayrim bekli. It's true, mishayrim usually means simply to sing. But at the same time, there's a little bit of a hekesh here. We're being makish, the kohanim that were playing with the trumpets, to the ones that were singing. Now, trumpets, even though we said, is not a musical instrument in the sense that it wasn't used here for the purpose of shira, but it is a musical instrument. And therefore, when makish mishayrim to mechatzrim, just like the mechatzrim had a musical, they weren't singing shira necessarily, like Rashi says, but it was a musical instrument, so too, the mishayrim did it dafka with these instruments. Zok de mishna vayte. Mishaloi ro simchas beis ha-shayev. So now we're going to get into the simchas beis ha-shayev. This topic is going to be malavos now for the next few dafim. Very, very gishmak. Someone that didn't see the simchas beis ha-shayev, loi ro simcha biyama. The simcha that took place in the beis ha-mikdash at the time of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So far, all we know is that there were flutes. But really, there was a lot more happening, as we're about to see. So much more that Misha Leira Simchas Beis HaShoeva Leira Simcha Miyamav. So how did it all begin? B'maitzai Yantav HaRishon Shal Chag. It was Maitzai, the first night Yantav. The Chalil was Chamisha V'Shisha, wasn't Daicha Shabbos, wasn't even Daicha Yantav. So this didn't happen on Yantav. But Maitzai, the first night Yantav, that was the first Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Yardal Ezras Noshim, the Yidden all went to the Ezras Noshim. That was a part of the Azara that had a lesser degree of Kedusha than the Ezras Yisrael, had a lesser degree of Kedusha than the Eerie between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, which had a lesser degree of Kedusha than the Ulam, which had a lesser degree of Kedusha than the Heichal, which had a lesser degree of Kedusha of the Kedusha HaKadoshim. Right, there were phases and there were levels and madrigas of Kedusha within the Azara. So they went specifically to the Ezras Noshim. Umesaknin Shom Tikkun Gadol. And they made a Tikkun Gadol there. We're going to see what that is in tomorrow's daf. There were candelabras that were made of gold. These were very large menorahs. In fact, there were four pails also made of gold. This was real Ashiras that were on the top of each one of these menorahs. Now, what was the purpose of these four pails? They would be filled up with oil, and you would light fire inside these pails. So each menorah had four of them. Each one of these pails, which was on the menorahs, four per menorah, had its own sulam, it had its own ladder. And there were four younger Kohanim, one per ladder, per pail on each menorah, ubiyadeim kadim shalmeyev esrim like. And they had, between the four of them, for each menorah, 120 lugin of oil, shehem matilim l'chol safel v'safel. 30 for each safel. But the point is, each menorah was made up of these four safalim, which had four Kohanim that were in charge of filling up these four Safalim with oil. In total, it was 120 Lugin. If you do the math, 120 divided by four. So you had 30 for each Safal. Says the Mishnah, Mi baloi michnasei Kohanim umehem yoneim hoyim afkiin. The Kohanim would take their worn-out clothing, the worn-out gartlach, the worn-out michnasayim, and they would make wicks with them. Ubehem hoyim adlikim, and that's what they used to use to be able to fuel this fire. There was so much light that there wasn't a chatzner in the entire Yerushalayim that wasn't lit up from the fire of the Beis HaShoeva. Says the Mishnah, the Chassidim and the Anshei Maisa, they would dance in front of the Yidden that were there. All the Jews had convened. They all gathered. And not everybody, however, had an opportunity to perform. So who performed? The Chassidim and the Anshei Maisa. So the credentials weren't so much your entertainment capacity, but it was more your tzidkus. And these were chassidim and anshei maisa, and they would take torches with fire. The Gemara is going to talk about this in the coming dafin. Rashi gives us a sneak preview. They used to juggle these torches of fire for omrim lefneim, and they would say divrei shiris v'sushbachos, and they would sing divrei shiris v'sushbachos. V'alavim b'ki noyres u'benaval mitzal time v'chatzoyts b'kleisha b'loy mispar. And then all the levim was standing with their musical instruments. How many? B'loy mispar. You couldn't even count them. Where were they standing? Al chamesh esrim milos hayardes me'ezus Yisrael le'ezus nashim. They were standing on the 15 steps that went from the Ezus Yisrael to the Ezra's Nashim. So if you were walking up the Harabayas, naturally you were walking up an incline. The Beis HaMikdash was built on a mountain. And that's why the floor of the entire Azara and Harabayas wasn't on the same footing, because it was on a mountain. So to get from the Ezra's Nashim to the Ezra's Yisrael, you had to walk 15 steps. And it was on those 15 steps that the Levim were playing their music. Now, why 15 steps? Keneged chamesh esrei shir hamalos shebet Tehillim. It's keneged the 15 shir hamalos of Tehillim. Sha'aleim ha-Levim oimdu b'klei shir. It was over there that the Levim was standing with the klei shir. V'oimrim shiru. And they were singing shir. Now, v'amdu shen kehanu b'shar ha-Elyon. There were also two kehanim that were standing at the Shar ha-Elyon. The Shar ha-Elyon was also known as Shar Niknar. That was the main entrance to go into the Azara. Sheyored me'ezras Yisrael le'ezras Nashim. We'll see more about what this all means in the Gemara. Shtei chatzos b'yadeim, they were holding two trumpets. Kare ha'gever. Now, we're really moving quickly over here because we just fast-forwarded until the morning. Now, when did this start? This started in the evening. It started Meitzah Yantav HaRishon. And the festivities, which the Mishnah, B'derech Kitzara, told us a little bit about what happened, went through the night. So it's going to go up until the morning. Now it's the morning. Kara ha-gever. What does the gever mean? So this comes up in different places, in Shas and Mishnayos. So it always means one of two things. Either it means the veker. There was a person, the Mishnah Masech Tishkolim refers to him as Gvini, but that was just a certain person at a certain time in history. But there was a veker. This was a person who knew how to wake the oilam up, and he would make noise. Alternatively, the gever is the rooster. But regardless, kara ha-gever, as soon as the gever started making a gerida, taku v'hariu v'taku. The oilam started blowing shofar with the, or not shofar, chatzotzmis. Tkiya truat kiya. My last series. And then they would start walking down the steps, the 15 steps. They're standing by Shar Nikna, there's 15 steps. They're going to walk down to the Ezra's Nashim. They would get to the 10th step. The Gemara will explain this. Taku v'hariu v'taku. Again, at tkiya truat kiya. When they got to the bottom, taku v'hariu v'taku. Hayu toikim v'halchim. They would continue blowing with chatzotzmis. Achim agiya l'shar yoytzim v'mizruch. Until they got to the Shar, through which you exited the Har Habayis on the eastern side. Now, why are we exiting the Har Habayis? What's going on right now? The Kohanim are going to go fill up water for the Nisuch HaMayim. So the Simchas Beis HaShoeva segued into the Nisuch HaMayim. The Nisuch HaMayim was brought every single day of Sukkot. That was the Eichah Shabbos Yontif. That was brought every single day. And they used to fill it up every single morning from the Shiloyach. That was a spring that was outside of the Har Habayis. So they have to go to the Har Habayis. So we go from the Simchas Beis HaShoeva to the Kohanim blowing Chatzotzris to a very formal set of how exactly you're going to leave the Azara and the Har Habayis to go fill up the water, but that's what's being described right now. As soon as they got to the Shar, from which you're going to exit the Har Habayis to the eastern side. Havchu pnei mizrach l'mayim. So they turned their faces. They're facing Mizrach. They're leaving through Mizrach. That's always the way you came in and out. It's through Mizrach. So now they turn. They do a 180 to the where they're facing Ma'ariv. Now what's on the Ma'ariv side? Ma'ariv is where the Heichal is, and that's where the Kodesh HaKadoshim is. That's where the Aron is. That's where the manifestation of Shekhinah is the most. Va'amru, and they said the following. Aviseinu shayi b'makom hazeh. Our Zaydis that were in this place, acharem el Heichal, at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, or the events that led up to Churban Bayis Rishon, they would stand with their backs towards the Heichal, upneim keidma, their face towards the east, early in the morning as the sun was rising in the east, umishtachven keidma l'mishemesh. They would bow down. They would literally be oivet avodah zarah. They would bow down to the shemesh. For anu, however, us, we're not doing that. Anu l'ka einenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, us, our eyes are to you. Rabbi Yehuda said, they would use a double lashon. Not only anu l'ka einenu, but anu l'ka, we are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'ka einenu, and our eyes are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why did they invoke the Averis of their Zedis? So we're going to have to see a lot more about this Gemara. But either way, this is the La'olam Yishana Adam L'Talmidai B'derech Kitzara version of the Simchas Beis HaShe'eva. Obviously, this is going to be elaborated on very much in the Gemara. But the Mishnah began. Misha leira simchas beis hasha'eva leira simcha miyamav. Zok to Gemara, a braisa. Tanu Rabbana, misha leira simchas beis hasha'eva leira simcha miyamav. And the braisa now digresses. Similar theme. Misha leira Yerushalayim et tefaret. Someone that didn't have the schus to see Yerushalayim in its glory, leira krach nechmad meyolam. Never saw a beautiful city. So there was no city that was ever as beautiful as Yerushalayim b'tefaret. Zok de braisa vayter. Misha leira beis hamikdash bevinyana. Someone who didn't have the schus to see the beis hamikdash leira binyan mefor miyolam. So you think you've seen a binyan mefor. If you didn't see the beis hamikdash, you never saw a binyan mefor. Zok de mahi. What specifically is it referring to? Meaning, which rendition of the Beis HaMikdash do we mean? There was Bayis Rishon, there was Bayis Sheni, there was renovation that happened over the years. So when we say Misha Leira, Beis HaMikdash Bevinyane Leira, Binyan Mefur Meoilam, Maihi, what specifically are we referring to? Amar Abaya. So Abaya said, Vitem Rav Chizda, some say Rav Chizda says a Binyan Hordas. It's referring to the Beis HaMikdash that was renovated by Hordas. Now, not for today, but Hordas was a king who ruled over the Jewish people in the last 100 or so years before Churban Bayis Sheni. So the last tkufa of Bayis Sheni was defined by the Malchus of initially Hordas and then eventually his descendants and his family. Now Hordas's whole status as a Jew was very questionable. He began as a non-Jew, and then he was Megayer, but the Chachamim had questioned his conversion, and still a hate, they never really treated him as a Jew. Hordas wasn't happy about that. Ultimately, Hordas goes down as one of the great monsters. So in the secular world, he's known as Herod the great architect, as what the Gemara is referring to right here, but he's considered a great king and a great leader, someone that was very progressive, someone that was a very ahead of his time, and his architecture and other aspects of his understanding of the world is studied ad hayom hazeh. But in our world, Hordas goes down as a monster. He goes down as someone that killed all the Tanam, like the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechtas Avodah Zarah. But one of the things that Hordas did, that ostensibly was a very good thing, was he renovated the Beis HaMikdash. And he put in a lot of money into the Beis HaMikdash, and he used all his chachma in architecture to renovate the Beis HaMikdash, so much so that Abaya, the Tamer of Chizda, said that that's what the Braisa means. When it says, Misha Leira, Beis HaMikdash Bevinyonai Leira, Binyam Mefur Meoilam, what we're referring to is the Beis HaMikdash of Hordas. So the Gemara says, the Mai Banyi, what was so impressive about Hordas' Beis HaMikdash? Amarabo, Sarabna said that the way he built the Beis HaMikdash was Ba'avne Shesha. So Rashi says, this is green marble. Umarmara, Rashi says, is white marble. You can tell me, some say it was Ba'avne Shesha, Kuchlu Marmara. It was green marble, white marble, it was also blue marble. Okay, that was one of the things that made it unique. The other thing was Apik Safa, Va'ayil Safa. So the rows of marble, one was protruding a little bit, and the other one was recessed a little bit. And the reason he did this was because he wanted to hide the cement, because he thought the cement would take away a little from the beauty. So like this, by recessing the one every other row, he was able to tuck the cement away. Like this, you wouldn't see it. It wouldn't take away from the beauty. Now, the Gemara says, that Hurdis wanted to now take gold, and he wanted to coat this all with gold. Amrle Rabbanon. The Rabbanon told him, Shafke, don't do it. The Hachi Shapet Fe, it's actually nicer if you do it this way. The Meschazi Kadusa the Yama, because it looks like the waves of the sea. Either way, this is the Misha Leira, Beis HaMikdash Bevinyanoi, Leira Binyan Mefur Meyodam. Tanya, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda, Misha Leira, the Plustin Shal Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim, Leira Bekvainan Shal Yisrael. Then on this note, someone that didn't see the Plustin of Alexandria, which was a great city in ancient Egypt, he never saw Kvoidin Shal Yisrael. Interesting. You would think the Kvoidin Shal Yisrael would have been when the Yidden were regel, maybe when they brought the Karban Pesach on Erev Pesach. You want to know what was the spitz, the epitome of Kvoidin Shal Yisrael? It took place not even in Eretz Yisrael. It took place in Alexandria, a city in Egypt, and it was at the Diyuplustan Shal Alexandria. So what exactly was this? Amru. Kimin Basilki Gedoy Lahaisa. This was a very large basilica. Stav Lifnim Mistav. So we had Stav Lifnim Mistav not so long ago, and Rashi over there, and Rashi here too, Taich, that Stav Lifnim Mistav means that there were rows of benches that went around the perimeter of this basilica, but it was one within the other. Another Taich, which is Mamchish this a little more, is that these were columns. So if you think of the Roman columns, which were very big and heavy and impressive, so there were two rows of columns that went around this basilica. The point is, it was such a big, massive structure that the beams that were necessary to keep the roof on top were of that nature. So this was stav lifnim mistav. The point is, pamim shahayu ba kiflaim kiyotz Mitzrayim. There were so many people there that at times there were literally two times the amount of Yidden that left Mitzrayim. 600,000 Jews left Mitzrayim. So this would be 600,000 times two. Hayu ba ayin aleph katroy shalz up. And there were 71 benches. Keneged ayin aleph shalz sanhedri gedolah. So they had 71 golden chairs, and these chairs were dedicated. It was like a symbol for the 71 members of the Sanhedrin. Kolachas vachas inu pchusam esrim v'yachod. And they weren't just gold, but they were made of a lot of gold, very, very heavy. Each one was no less, could be it was more, but it wasn't less than 21 times 10,000 kikrei zav. And then there was a wooden bima in the middle. And the chazan, he was the gaba, he would stand on top of this bima, and he was holding sudarim, he was holding towels in his hand. The And when it came time to answer amen, meaning, they had convened to daven. This was a shul, right? It's not clear what it was. It was a shul. That's what it was. So the Olam comes together. It's a big synagogue. And everybody's there. And how are you supposed to hear the chazan? He has to have a hazash shtimmer. Like, how are you going to even hear him? So it was very hard. So the chazan ha-kneses, not the chazan as in the Baal Tefillah, but the chazan ha-kneses would stand, and he's waving a towel. And every time it came time to answer amen, so he would wave it. Halom meinef besuda v'cholo einem amen. Everybody would say amen. Now the truth is, this brisa right here has a huge halachic component to it, because it sounds like you can answer amen to a bracha even if you don't actually hear the bracha. And this is a major discussion in Maseches Brachas, but not for today. Now, when the Olam would sit down, so there was assigned seating. I mean, you couldn't just walk in and sit down wherever you wanted, but rather they would assign you a seat. So, had you sit, El Zahavim Bifnei Atzman, all the Zahavim, all the goldsmiths would sit together. V'Ksavim Bifnei Atzman, the silversmiths would sit together. V'Nafachim Bifnei Atzman, the blacksmiths together. V'Tarsiim Bifnei Atzman, V'Gardiim Bifnei Atzman. Bekitzer, depending on what you did for a living, depending on what your 9-to-5 was, that's what determined where you would sit. Now, why did they do this? So the Mishnah, Bryson says, Ukashani Nichnasham, it's like this, if an Aram man came and he was looking for Parnassah, Yemakir Bali Yomnusai, he knew how to find someone that was in his geshaft, somebody that would be able to help him. So he would walk in, he knew where the people that did what he did were sitting, Venifna Lasham, he would sit there, Umisham Parnassah, that's where he would have Parnassah, Uparnassah Sanche Besai, that's where he would have Parnassah for his family. But the way the seating was assigned was, it was basically a sign based on what the person did for Parnassah. The Velt says that maybe there was another reason why they did it this way, almost an opposite reason. And that is because they wanted to make sure there was no talking during davening. So like this, you're sitting down next to your competition. What does a person talk about? He's going to start telling him what he's doing and, you know, what he's up to. And the Olam didn't want to share their secrets. So like this, every Shachris was a little business conference and everybody was quiet. Everyone's keeping everything close to the vest. I'm sorry. And like this, nobody's talking. And this wasn't a bad ploy. Amr Abaya. So Abaya said that all this Kvoidin Shal Yisrael that took place in Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim, Vekulon Katlinu, Alexandra Smukdim.
everybody was killed. This whole covet of Klaus eventually had a very, very sad ending. And who killed them? Alexandros Mukhtim. Now, Alexandros Mukhtim literally means Alexander of Macedonia, also known as Alexander the Great. But the Vilna Gaon, and if you look at the Gaon of Rabbi Tzal or Ransberg, who's also one of the Chachmi Prague, we were talking about Prague the other day. So this, they're both Magid, they said it can't be it was Alexander the Great, because this is just world history 101. The city of Alexandria was built as a dedication to Alexander Mukhtin. Alexander Mukhtin had this vision of going to Egypt and recreating some of what was going on at the time in Greece and Macedonia. And he had taken over Egypt, he conquered the land. He thought strategically this was the most chashiv parcel of land in the whole world, and that's where he wanted to build this city that was going to be the city that would be kvoidon of his own personal glory. Ultimately, he ended up dying, so he never got to realize what his dream was. But his Talmidim and his Chassidim, they went and they built it and they did it. And that's why it was Yikarish Mai B'Yisrael, Alexandria, Al-Shem, Alexander Mukhtim. And this is just basic history. So the Vilna Gaon says it can't be that we're talking about Alexandros Mukhtim. It's impossible. So he said, who was it? He says it was Tarquinius. Rabbi Tzal Ransberg quotes the Abarbanel, who has another suggestion of who it might have been, but it couldn't have been Alexander the Great. Regardless, everybody was wiped out, and the Gemara says, "My time, Yanshu. Why would this have possibly happened? I mean, it sounds like this is Kvoidin Shi Yisrael. It sounds like it was so beautiful, the sensitivity that they even had with the way they made the seating, so that the Olam should have Parnasa, and everyone's answering, Omei Techazar Sashatz. I mean, everything we see about what's going on here sounds very, very Choshim. And there was obviously a lot of Ashiris. This is a very wealthy community. It's like, how did this all get wiped out, and why did it all get wiped out? So the Gemara says, the Avri because they violated the following pasuk. The pasuk says, very simple, because the pasuk says in three places that a yid's not allowed to go back to Mitzrayim. And they were living in Mitzrayim, and it was because of that that they got punished. Can you do it? The Rambam, when he would sign his name, he would say, Moshe ben Maimon, ha'oiver begimel avim b'chol yoyim. The Rambam lived in Mitzrayim. And that's what he used to say. So it's not so posher for you to go to Mitzrayim. And here you had a multitude of Jews living in Mitzrayim, and that's ultimately what caused the problem. So the Gemara says, he also, when whoever it was that caused this Chorban came to Alexandria, so when he arrived, Ashkechinu davekar b'sifra, so he saw that the oilam was in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. And they were up to the following pasuk in the Teichach, in this week's parasha. Yisna Hashem Olecha Goy Meirachik. Hashem is going to take a nation that's going to come Meirachik. Miktzei Haaretz, from the other side of the earth. Kashne Yidah HaNesher, and it's going to come like the eagle comes. Goy Asheloi Sishma L'Shoine. It's going to be a nation where you don't even speak his language. Amar. So this person said, Mechtiyahu Gavre Boi L'Mei Sisfinda Basar Yoyim. You know, I was supposed to really arrive. When I originally mapped out how long it was going to take for me to arrive in Alexandria, it was supposed to take 10 days. L'Maisa Dal Yaziko, a wind came, and all the winds were blowing in the right direction. V'Alsi Sisfinda B'Chamisha Yoyim. I ended up coming in 5 days. So he realized that something is a little bit strange. It didn't play out the way it was supposed to play out. So he says, oh, now I understand. He said, this is the pasuk that they just read. Yisa Hashem Alecha Goy Meirachik. And it's going to come Kashe Yideh HaNesher. It's going to come like literally on airplanes. It's going to come out like it's going to fly like an eagle. And that's why I must have come so quickly. Which means that I'm going to be successful in what I'm about to do. Because this pasuk must be a sign of the idea that I was brought here for a reason. And the reason was the Toichacha Rachmana Litzlan. So the Gemara says, Nafal Alayu, he attacked them, Bekatlinu, and he killed them. And that's the end of the story of this group of Jews that were living in Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim. So there's so much here in this daf, as is going to be in all the dafen that we're about to learn in the next few days. But Ein Mikra Yoytze Midei Pshutai, the sugya that we're learning now is the sugya of Simchas Beis Hashoyeva, the Imloy Achshav Emosai. Now's the time to learn it. So just to talk a little bit about the Simchas Beis Hashoyeva. So again, we're just getting started, and the Gemara is going to bring some Divrei Agada that are going to describe in some greater detail what exactly the Simchas Beis Hashoyeva was. But we've already seen the punchline. We saw it in a Mishnah, we saw it in a Braisa. The Mishnah says, Misha Leira Simchas Beis Hashoyeva, Leira Simcha Miyamav. And the Braisa again, Misha Leira Simchas Beis Hashoyeva, Leira Simcha Miyamav. So on Sukkis, there was an incredible Simcha that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. It was known as the Simchas Beis Hashoyeva, It's interesting, the Gemara in Daf Nun Amud Beis actually brought an Amora that had a version of the Mishnah that referred to it not as the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, but rather as the Simchas Beis HaChashuva. But either way, there was an incredible Simcha that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. It took place on Sukkot. Now, granted, it wasn't like a Shabbos, it wasn't like a Yontif, but at the very least, it happened 5 days of Sukkot. This happened every single day. Sometimes, if Yontif and Shabbos coincided, it even happened on 6 days. But the point is, there was a mitzvah of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So here's the question, why? Why was there a Simchas Beis HaShoeva? What was so exciting that for some reason this week, during the Yontif of Sukkot, we're making this unbelievable Simcha? So the truth is, Rashi in the Mishnah and Daf Nun Amud Aleph already said, Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Zok Teheligah Rashi, Kol Simcha Zu, Eina Ela Bishvil Nisach HaMayim. The purpose of this Simcha was for Nisach HaMayim. Ki the Mefarish B'Gemara, Rashi says, as is Mavur in the Gemara. The Gemara said, why was it called Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Because of the Pasuk of Usha'aftem Mayim Besosin. Now what does Usha'aftem Mayim Besosin have to do with making this party that kol mishalei ra'a simcha beis hashoeva la'ra'a simcha miyamav? The teretz is ushafta mayim besasim means the nisuch hamayim, and the whole simcha was a simcha that was associated with nisuch hamayim. So you want to know why there was this simchas beis hashoeva on a chitzonius level, just understanding it superficially from a halachic perspective? The idea was it was related to the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim. And Nisach HaMayim requires Usha'aftem Mayim Besasim. The truth is that the Mishnah had said on Daf Mem Ches that when the Kohanim exited and entered to go get the water from the Shiloyach, Taku Variyah V'Taku. And the Gemara said, Maitaima, or Minani Mili. What's the source to this? Amar Rav Eina, the Amakra, the Pasuk says, Ushaftem Mayim Besasin. So you see clearly that there was an idea of Simcha associated with the Nisach HaMayim, and Rashi says, this was that Simcha. You want to know what the Simcha was all about? It was all about the Nisach HaMayim. The truth is, Rashi quotes the Mandama that called it Simchas Beis HaShoeva. There was another Mandama that referred to it as Simchas Beis HaChashuva. Now, why was it called Chashuva? So the Gemara said, Mitzvah Chashuva hi uba misheshes imei bereshes. Because Simchas Beis HaShoeva, or in that Shita, Simchas Beis HaChashuva has to do with Sheish Mei Bereshes. What's up to do with Sheish Mei Bereshes? So Rashi said, Amar and Lil, we said earlier, Shisin, that's where the Nisach HaMayim went, Nivru misheshes imei bereshes, the Kabbalah Nesachim. So again, you see that there's some connection between Simchas Beis HaShoeva and between the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim, and because Nisuch HaMayim happened on Yontif of Sukkot, that's why the Simchas Beis HaShoeva happened on the Yontif of Sukkot as well. But it's Yidua that in Brisk, that Medayik, that from the Rambam, it's not Mashma, that he understood that this is what Simchas Beis HaShoeva was. The Rambam is in Hilchas Lulav, it's Perek Ches, it's Halacha Yud Bey. Says the Rambam, Afal Pisha Kol HaMayadis Mitzvah L'Smayach Ben. Even though there's a mitzvah to be besimcha on every single Yontif. However, B'chag HaSukkos, on Sukkos, Hoyse Shom B'Mikdash Simcha Yisera. There was a Simcha Yisera. There wasn't just Simcha, but there was Simcha Yisera. Shenemer, as the Pasuk says, Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Eloi Keichem Shivas Yomem. So the Pasuk says, Ulekachtem Lechem B'Yoyim Arishim. We darshan this Pasuk for the last month and a half. Priyetz Hader, Kapas Tomorrow, Manafi, it's always for Arvei Nachal. And then the end of the Pasuk says, Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Eloi Keichem Shivas Yomem. Says the Rambam, every Yontif has a mitzvah v'samachta b'chagecha. But over here it says, Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Eloi Keichem Shivas Yomem. So from there we learn that there's a Simcha Yisera, that in addition to the regular mitzvah of simcha that every yontif has, here there's more of a mitzvah of simcha, and that mitzvah of simcha took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Rambam, "V'ketzad hayoisim, what was the simcha?" And the Rambam goes on to describe the simcha: erev yontif arishon hayimasaknim b'mikdash makam l'nashim l'mayla u'maschilim l'smayach v'chem b'chol yom yom yimei chalamoid ve'hichayis simcha zu hachalil make u'menagnim. And then the Rambam quotes some of the gemaras that we didn't even learn yet: mitzvah laharbois b'simcha zu v'loy hayoisin oisa amei aretz. But the bottom line is, the Rambam, when he brings the mitzvah of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, he doesn't say a word about Nisach HaMayim. He doesn't quote the pasuk of Ushaftem Mayim Besasin. The Rambam quotes a different pasuk. It says, Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yomim. Says the Rambam, that pasuk is the makar, that pasuk is the makar to Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So two things. First of all, where do you see from there that it's supposed to be in the Beis HaMikdash? That's Pasuk. Pasuk. It says, Usmachtem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yomim. Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem always means the Mokam HaMikdash. That's what lefnei Hashem means in the Torah. So you see clearly that that simcha was supposed to be lefnei Hashem. That's what the Rambam says. There's an extra mitzvah of simcha, and that mitzvah of simcha has to be lefnei Hashem. That's Usmachtem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yomim. Now, this Pasuk of Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Elokei Chashiv Es Yom, Chazal used to learn a very important halacha. And that is that there's a mitzvah of Dalet Minim, Zayin Yomim, Midda Oiraisa, in the Beis HaMikdash. One day Begvulim, that's Ulekachtem Lechem B'Yom HaRishon, but 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash, that's Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Elokei Chashiv Es Yomim. But although Chazal used that pasuk to learn a mitzvah of Dalet Minim, Zayin Yomim, it doesn't preclude the drasha of the Rambam that usmachtem lefnei Hashem alekeichem shivas yomim is a makar to the simchas beis hasheva, because usmachtem lefnei Hashem alekeichem shivas yomim, this is pashat, doesn't mean dalad minim. What it means is simcha. So you see, there's a mitzvah to be besimcha. Taking dalad minim is an oifen of simcha, but it's not exclusively simcha yedei dalad minim. It can mean simcha in other ways as well. So the Rambam understood that if you see Chazal made such a big deal about simchas beis hasheva, must be because they felt that there's another way you're supposed to be mekayim usmachtem lefnei Hashem alekeichem shivas yomim. Number one, dalet minim zayin yomim b'mikdash midday raisa. Number two, simchas beis hasheva. But here's the point. The point is we have a machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam. Poshipshat, what was the Simchas Beis HaSheva all about? According to Rashi, the Simchas Beis HaSheva was related to the special carbon that was born on Sukkot, the Nisach HaMayim. Why would Nisach HaMayim beget such Simcha? Ushaftem Mayim Besosan Mimayne HaYeshua. That's the reason. It's related to Ushaftem Mayim Besosan. That's what this was all about. And it's for that reason there was a tremendous simcha. But the point is, it's related to the carbon of the Nisach HaMayim. According to the Rambam, it's a hot nish seton mit karbonos. Ironically, according to the Rambam, it's not a kachem that you did. It's related to Simchas Yontif. There's a mitzvah to be besamcha every Yontif. We sing every single Yontif. But on Sukkis, usmachtem lefnei Hashem alekeichem shimchas yomim, there's a special pasuk of simcha. That special pasuk of simcha is 7 days. Those 7 days are supposed to be lefnei Hashem alekeichem. That's how we know that Simchas Beis HaSheva was supposed to be lefnei Hashem. It would seem at first glance that according to Rashi, the mitzvah of Simchas Beis HaSheva was a mitzvah derabanan. Meaning, there's an inyan of Ushaftem Mayim Besosan. That's a deraisa. Chura not. It's a derabanan. And the truth is, if you go through the Rashis in the Sugya, on Daf Nun Amud Beis, that the specific Rashi is Dibra Maskol Divrei Hakol Simchi Yisairihi. Rashi says Ve'ena Min HaTorah Elo L'Chabev Es HaMitzvah. The purpose of it was, it wasn't Min HaTorah, it was just to be Mechabev the Mitzvah. It's a nice inyan of Ushaftem Mayim Besosan. Going to Ram, it's a pasuk. It says Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yom, the same pasuk that teaches us Dalet Minim 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash. That's a Deiraisa, we know that. Today it's Eichel HaMikdash, but once upon a time it was a Deiraisa. So Simchas Beis HaSheva, according to the Rambam, would be Midairaisa as well. Now the truth is that if you want a nice Maramakim, if you take a look at the Brisker Rav in Sefer, so this is the Chedushei Maron Riza Levi, that's in the Kiddush HaChodesh Yuma Sukkah volumes. The very, very last piece on Mesechus Sukkah, this is the Hadron Aloch, but the last piece of Mesechus Sukkah, so the Brisker Rav has a whole pilpul regarding the second part of yesterday's daf and the first part of today's daf, the machloikis, whether Simchas Beis HaSheva is Deicha Shabbos in Yontif, it's not Deicha Shabbos in Yontif, in light of this machloikis between Rashi and the Rambam, whether Simchas Beis HaSheva is related to the carbon or whether it's related to Simchas Yontif. You could see where this would go. If it's a carbon de gedin, carbonus a Deicha Shabbos in Yontif. So if it's Tzairich carbon, so you could hear maybe why it would be Deicha Shabbos in Yontif. But either way, the Beskarov works through some of the nuances in the Gemara and the machloikis between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba and Tiofta de Rabbi Yosef Tiofta. In light of this machloikis, poshed a very elementary, basic, foundational understanding of what Simchas Beis HaSheva was. According to Rambam, it was related to Simchas Yontif. There was an extra inyan of Simchas Yontif on the Yontif of Sukkot. Every Yontif be besimcha, he have to be even more besimcha. That's the Simcha Yisera. According to Rashi, it's Michoivas HaKarben. You brought the carbon of Nisach HaMayim, that's why you're doing it now. If you bring the Nisach HaMayim on Chanukah, then you'd be besimcha Yisera on Chanukah. It has nothing to do with Yontif, and has nothing to do with Sukkot per se. It's related 100% to the Nisach HaMayim. Tosfos
on the very top of Daf Nun Amid Beis, brings another pshat in the Loshon Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Simchas Beis HaChashuva. But if it's Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the Gemara said, it's because of the Pasuk. U'sha'afte mayim besasen. But Taisus quotes the Yerushalmi that had a different pshat in the Loshon Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Be Yerushalmi Mefarish, the reason it was called Simchas Beis HaShoeva is Mishom Shemishom Shoyavim Ruach HaKodesh. Because at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva event, at this spectacle, they weren't just being Shoyav Mayim for the Nisuch HaMayim, but they were being Shoyav Ruach HaKodesh. Shashchina Shoyrim Mitoich Simcha. And the reason is because there was so much Simcha, and this Simcha brought to Hashroyis HaShchina. The Chziv, how do you know that Simcha has anything to do with Shchina? Vayihi kenagen ha-menagen, vatihi olav Ruach Hashem. And this is something that the Bavli quotes as well in the end of Masechtas Pesachim, the very, very end of Arbei Pesachim, that you find that the Nevi'im, sometimes they would have to take out a musical instrument. This is in Yonah D'Yayma, what we're learning right now. Or sometimes they had other people take out a musical instrument for them. And it was Vayihi kinagin haminagin vati olav ruach Hashem. The Gemara says that's why David HaMelech, sometimes it says Mizmar L'David, and sometimes it says L'David Mizmar. When David HaMelech was in a place of Simcha, so he was able to just beruach HaKodesh sing Tehillim, L'David Mizmar. But there were times that he wasn't naturally besimcha. So first it was Vayihi kinagin haminagin, it was Mizmar, Mizmar L'David, now already he was in a place of Simcha. But the point is that because there was so much Simcha, so therefore the Simcha led to Ruach HaKodesh. Shemisham Shayavim Ruach HaKodesh. What does Ruach HaKodesh have to do with Simcha's Beis HaShoeva? Shashchina Toyer Mitoich Simcha. And then the Yerushalmi brings one story, just one example of this. Umaisi Uvda D'Yoyna Ben Amitai of Mafte Yoyna fame. Shehoyah Me'oili Regalim. He was from the Oili Regalim. Ubesimchas Beis HaShoeva Sharsa Olav Shechina. It's interesting. The Gemara says in the beginning of the last parak of Masechtas Erevin that Ishtoy Shal Yoyna used to be Oili Regal. Michal Bas Kush used to put on tefillin, even though women are not obligated in tefillin, and Ishtoy Shal Yoyna used to be Oile Regal, even though it says Yerah Kol Schurcha, and women are not chayef to be Oile Regal. But the Yerushalmi says that Yoyna ben Amitai himself was from the Oile Regalim, and it was during the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Shor Sa'ol of Shechina, he was Oicha Ta'ashroi Shechina. So just to share one machshava that I saw in the Sefer Beis Yishai, from Rabbi Shlomo Fischer Shlita, the Rashiva of Itri. It's just a machshava, a little bit, al derech pnimiyas haTorah, where he explains why was it that Yoyna ben Amitai was the one person that was singled out by Chazal, that when he was Oile Regel, on Sukkis, by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, he was Zoicha, that he had Ruach HaKodesh. So the Yerushalmi says Simchas Beis HaShoeva not because u sha'afte mayim b'sochem. I'm not talking about the water that's coming out of the well, but Simchas Beis HaShoeva is shemisham shoyev and ruach hakodesh. And one example of it, ma'isi uvda diyoyne ben amitai shahoyim may oily regalim ubesimchas Beis HaShoeva shar sol of shechina. And at first glance, it's a davar sasum. Why was Yoyne ben Amitai singled out? That he's the one that at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, at the time of Nisach HaMayim, the way Rashi explains it, or during the Gevaldige Simchas Yontif, the way the Rambam explains it, he was Zoicha Tashroes HaShchina. See, he says a Dover Nifla based on a Rashi in Chumash. This Rashi is in Parshas Vayikra. It's tucked away. The Pasuk says, V'chol korban minchascha b'melech timlach. Every single time a korban was brought on the Mizbeach, the first thing you had to do was, the Kohanim had to put salt on top of the carbon. There was an avoida called melicha. You're putting salt on top of the carbon. And then the pasuk says, "V'lei sashpis melach brisolakecha mi'al min chasecha." You have to make sure if you bring a carbon, never be shoyves. Never don't put salt. Al kol karboncha takriv melach. And then some tzveit nimol. Al kol karboncha takriv melach. So the pasuk says again and again and again that a carbon had to have melach. Says Rashi, what's this all about? Why do you have to have salt on a carbon? Why is this so critical? Shabris krusel amelach misheshis mei bereshis. The reason is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had cut a deal with salt that traced itself back to the times of sheshis mei bereshis. What happened during Sheishis Mei Bereishis? Shehuftechu Amayim, the water was promised, HaTachtoinim, the water that remained here, at sea, likarev b'mizbeach, that one day it would be offered on the mizbeach, b'melach, through its salt, the salt that comes from the ocean, the nisuch ha-mayim b'charg. And when the water, the nisuch ha-mayim, would be poured on the mizbeach on Sukkos. So b'shen shesimei b'reishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu negotiated a deal with the mayim ha-tachtoinim. And the deal basically was that mayim ha-tachtoinim, you're going to remain b'tachtoinim, but in exchange for that, what you're going to have is the schos, that the salt that's going to come from you is going to eventually be on the Mizbeach. And not just that, we're going to take you water, and on Sukkos, there's going to be a mitzvah that's going to be called Nisach HaMayim. So the rest of the story of this Rashi is a Medrash Rabbah. It's in Parashas Bereishis. The Medrash over there says, Amar Rabrachya. Rabrachya said, Lo pirshu hamayim atachtoinim, minah halyoinim, ela bepchia. So we know that HaKadosh Baruch, when he created the worlds, it was all one big body of water. And then Hashem said that I want the water to be divided. So there's going to be the mayim halyoinim and the mayim atachtoinim, yikavu hamayim. And all of a sudden, there was separation. And that's how Yoyim Yemishayin B'Shah. That's the Bnei Kairach and the Machloikis, and that's when Gehenna was created. But the point is that the Mayim went from being one being, one entity of water, and now all of a sudden you have Mayim HaElyonim and Mayim HaTachtonim. So some of the water was going to go to the Elyonim, and some of the water was going to remain with the Tachtonim. So Rabbi Brachia said that when this happened, you can't imagine the scene that was taking place. The Mayim HaTachtonim, which is a body of water, was crying, right? The water was crying. But the point is, there were Bechias that were going on. And he said, this is what Eve meant in the Pasuk, when he said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was Chibesh, he created water, he fashioned water. How did he fashion the Naharis? Mipchi. It came from Treren. It came from Bechias. The Mayim HaTachtonim was crying. Rav Tancha Mayis HaMehacha. Rav Tancha said the same exact thing, but he had a different pasuk. He didn't learn it from Sefer Iyev Perek Chav Ches. He learned it from a different pasuk in Iyev, where the pasuk says, Oysa Eretz Bekoichoi L'Koil Titoi Hamoin Mayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Oysa Eretz Bekoichoi, and he was L'Koil Titoi Hamoin Mayim. There was Titan in my mind. He created the body of water. But this body of water happened L'Koil. It was L'Koil Titoi HaMoyim Mayim. The Titoi HaMoyim Mayim, the creation of the water, happened with Koilus. What does Koil mean? So Rav Tanchum said, V'ein L'Koil Elo Bechi. Koil means crying. Heich Ma Da'at Omer. How do you know that? Koil B'Roma Nishma. And what's the end of the pasuk? Rochel Mavaka Albonel. So you see, Koil means crying. And that's L'Koil Titoi HaMoyim Mayim. So Rav Brachia and Rab Tamchan and the Medrash Rabbah and Parshas Bereishis both said the same thing. Like Pirshu Amayim HaTachtonim and Elyonim, Ela B'Bchiyah. That when the Mayim HaTachtonim and Mayim Elyonim split up, there was B'Chiyahs going on. B'Bchi Naharis Chibesh. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Naharis Chibesh, it was B'Bchiyah, it was with Treren. L'Koil Titoin HaMoyim Mayim. That when it was Titoin HaMoyim Mayim, it happened with Koilus. What does Koil mean? It means crying. Kol B'Roma Nishma Rochel Mavak Albaneh. It happened with crying. So what was all this crying about? What was the crying? So if you look in the Pirish on the side of the Medrash Rabbah, this is the Pirish Yedei Moshe. So he says, you have to know another Medrash for this. The Medrash says, the reason they were crying was, is Al Shem Loi Zochu Liyos Kreivim L'Shechina. The reason they were crying was, is because the Mayim HaTachtonim said, what kind of deal is this? The Mayim Elyonim is going to be with the Shechina. They're going to be in the Elyonim, and we're going to be, what, the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean? So what? So ships are going to sail across of us, and explorers one day are going to be coming here and coming there. So we're not interested. Why should we get stuck? That's not a fair deal. You're Bel Yoinim with the Tachtoim, and they were crying. It was Kol Berama Nishma Racham Avak Albaneh. It was Mipchi Naharis Chibesh. They didn't want to have anything to do with this. They were Pasha crying Bepchiyah. Why should we be Betachtoinim? We want to be with the Shechina. We want to be Bel Yoinim. So what did Abish to tell them? He told them it's true. I hear what you're saying. I hear. You want to be Betachtoinim. But you have to realize I'm creating a world. And this world that I'm creating right now, it needs water. Because without water, this world can't survive. And you have to realize the purpose and the tachlis that you have. Like the Navi Yeshaya said, Ki em hirva es ha'aretz, v'hoylida v'etzmicha, v'nasan zera l'zeireya, v'lechem l'oichel. You have such an important job. Your job is to make sure that the world is going to function and the world's going to be sustained. You're going to make sure there'll be zera l'zeireya, there's going to be lechem l'oichel, there's going to be v'hoylida v'etzmicha. Without you, there can't be a bria. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Mayim HaTachtonim, I understand you want to be Bel Yoinim, and I understand you're not happy with the way this deal worked out. But listen, do what I'm asking you to do, fulfill your tafkid, and I'm going to give you something in return. You know what you're going to get in return? Your return is going to be, there's going to be a day where we're going to take melach from you, from the mayim, and every single carbon that's going to be brought, I'll call carbon chotakriv melach. But then he said, not just that, there's going to be a very, very special yontif one day. It's going to be the yontif of Sukkot. It's going to be for 7 days. And during the yontif of Sukkot, there's going to be a simcha yaseira of kol misha leiro, simchas beis ha-she'eva leiro, simcha b'yamav. And it's going to all center, it's going to pivot around a carbon. You know what that carbon is going to be? It's going to be mayim. And that's going to be your schar, your reward for remaining betachtoinim, even though you're crying, and even though it's something that you really, really don't want. But as a zman schar, for listening to what I'm asking, and for taking one for the team, your reward is going to be one day there'll be melech, but asher nageil in yoneinu, because that's what we're learning right now. We're not learning menachis. We're learning right now the sugyas of simchas beis hasheva. There's going to be nisuch hamayim. The nisuch hamayim is the schar that you're going to end up getting for what you did. So Rav Shlomo Fischer said a davar nifla. He says, you know the way I see nisuch hamayim? It sounds like the Eibishter was consoling the mayim atachtoinim. The mayim atachtoinim thought that they were going to lose out. They thought, if I'm betachtoinim, so how am I going to be belyoinim? How am I going to have dveikus by Kodesh Baruch Hu? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the mayim atachtoinim, you have to realize, when you give yourself up, fayenim, when you're moist and nefesh, when you're willing to be betachtoinim, you'll live in the blotter. Why? Because you understand, ki imhirva esa aretz, v'hoylido v'tzmicha v'nasen zera l'zerei v'lechem lo'oichel, you don't lose out. And ultimately, you're going to see, you're going to be zoicha to azad veikis, that the nisuch hamayim, with all the primis ha-toyra of nisuch hamayim, and we know on some level, that mishloi ros, simchas beis ha-shreve, loi ros, simcha miyamim, you know when that's going to come out? It's going to come out when we take your, you're not losing from being betachtoinim, because a yid doesn't lose from being betachtoinim as long as he's doing it for yanim. When a yid's moist and nefesh for somebody else, he never loses out. And said Rav Shlomo Fischer, that if you want to see this point, and bring it out so stark, he says, go through the Torah of the Heiligach Sam Sofer. This is the Torah we always speak out. This is the gift that keeps on giving. Hafachba, vafachba, the kulaba, and every other adjective I can think of. But the point is, it doesn't stop. It says, look at the Torah of the Chassam Sofer. He said, the Chassam Sofer said this keseder. Keseder and keseder, that you don't lose out from giving up. He said, Avram Avinu was never chanoich. Right? Chanoich became a malach. Ve'enenu kilaka choyse alikimi became the malach matat. Avram Avinu didn't become the malach matat. Oh, but Klal Yisrael came through Avram Avinu. Said the Chassam Sofer, why? He should have came through chanoich. He said, Avram Avinu never reached the Madrega of Chanoich, 100%. But at the same time, Avram Avinu didn't reach the Madrega of Chanoich, not because he couldn't have reached the Madrega of Chanoich, but it's because he chose to give himself up for Yanim. V'anefesh asha asu b'charen. Avram Avinu didn't just learn Torah. He put himself out there for other people, and because of that, he became greater in terms of what he was zoiche to than Chanoich, although on an individual level, Chanoich accomplished much more during his lifetime than Avram Avinu ever did. Because it's this idea that Chassam Sofer says in the Petuchei Chosim, a person never loses out. Chassam Sofer says, that's me Talmida Yoyse Mikulan. You don't lose out when you give away from somebody else. He brings from his Rebbe Dafla, who said this in Panim Yafis, that said, Rapreda, he taught with his Talmud 400 times, he was Zoichat to 400 years. What was the idea of 400 Kenegav? It's because he thought this Rebbe did, that maybe he's losing out from teaching this Talmud. Rapreda didn't lose anything. He ended up getting everything back, because a person doesn't lose when he gives himself up for somebody else. That's the Gemara, umi midbar matana. That's someone that's meisim atzmoy ke midbar. So noisim le teirib matana. You make yourself like a midbar, you hefker, anybody that, hey, anyone could trample all over you. But you don't lose out from that. There's an idea of me midbar matana. So said Rav Shlomo Fischer, that's what happened over here with the mayim. The mayim remained betachtoinim, didn't want to be betachtoinim. Like pirshu mayim atachtoinim and aloyoinim, ela bepchiyo. Hadol dechsim bepchi nahara is chibesh. L'kol titen amoy mayim. What does the kol mean? It's kol b'rama nishma. It happened bepchiya. And the mayim atachtoinim thought it was losing out. They said, you're not going to lose that. You're going to see. The nisach hamayim is going to come through you. And what's going to come through the nisach hamayim and all the madregis and all the helig avoides that are going to come through nisach hamayim, that's something that's so gewaldig. And that's something you're going to be zoiche to dafka because you're in the mayim atachtoinim. We can't go to the mayim el yoinim to be shafte mayim besosim, to do the mitzvah of nisach hamayim. The only water we have access
to for them. Avoid of nischamayim is the mayim atachtoinim. He said, remain betachtoinim, and you're going to see, you're not going to lose out. You're going to end up being zoicha. You're going to end up being zoicha to a gewaldiger dveikus. I said, Reb Shlomo Fischer. He said that there was one person in history that brought out this point very, very stark. He was willing to sacrifice so much for Yana. You know what that was? It was Yoina ben Amitai. What's the story of Yoina? This is in Yana de Yoima in a few weeks. So what's the Yana de Yoina? What's the story of Yoina ben Amitai? The story was Hashem sends him with a shlichus and he tells him, go to Ninveh or Ira Gedoyla. And he says, go tell them to do tshuva. And Yoina didn't go. He starts running away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is Yoina. He's a Navi. He's running away from Hashem. Doesn't even make sense. There's one precedent for running away from Hashem. Adam and Chava, they were hiding from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Didn't play out well. What's Yoina doing? He's running away from Hashem. What's Pasha Pshat? How can he run away from Hashem? So Chazal say, everyone knows this, because Yoina made a cheshbon. He said, I talk to the Yidden all the time and I try to get them to do tshuva, they don't listen. He says, you know what I think is going to happen? I think I'm going to go to Ninveh now. I'm going to tell them to do tshuva and they're going to listen. And they're going to do tshuva. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to make the Yidden look very, very bad. So Yoina said, Ich kenish falaydin, that through my teichacha that I'm going to go, give Ninveh, the Yidden are going to look bad and it's going to end up causing who knows what for the Jewish people. So Yoina said, I'd rather do something so foolish. I'm going to quote unquote run away from Hashem, which came with punishments. He was swallowed by a fish. So, I mean, it didn't really work out so well in the short term, but he was willing to sacrifice everything. Everything on an individual level. Why? To save Klal Yisrael, because he understood that if he fulfills his shlichus, it's not going to work out. But what was the end of the story? The end of the story is Yoina didn't lose. He got punished in the short term. But ultimately he didn't lose out. You know why he didn't lose out? Because his Mesiris Nefesh was a Mesiris Nefesh for other people. It was a Mesiris Nefesh for the Jewish people. And that's why Yoina didn't lose anything. What did Yoina get? Yoina got Gevaldige Ruach HaKodesh. He got Gevaldige Nevuah. He had a tremendous Madreg of Ashrayis HaShchina. But when did he get that Nevuah? When did he get to Ashrayis HaShchina? When did it all play out? Zokti Yerushalmi. You want to know when it played out? It was Simchas Beis HaShoeva. It happened at the time of the Nisach HaMayim. It happened at the time of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. At that time, Yoina ben Amitai was Shoev. He was able to take in Ruach HaKodesh. He took in Ruach HaKodesh Dafka at the time of the Nisach HaMayim. Because the Nisach HaMayim, said Reb Shlomo Fischer, is his man, where it's Nisoirer, this Bechina, that right now the water is being repaid for remaining B'tachtoin and B'pchia. Because this is the way it works. You give up. B'pchia, you give up because you know it's the right thing to do. Because v'nasin zera l'zerei v'lechem l'oichel, ultimately you're going to end up on the Mizbeach. And you're going to end up being the Nisuch HaMayim. So it's at that time where there was a tremendous hashpah of this idea, the idea of the Chassam Sofer, of Mitamida Yosef Mikun, that a person doesn't lose out when he gives himself up for other people. That's when Yoina ben Amitai didn't lose out. And that's when Yoina ben Amitai, all of a sudden, the water was Ushafta Mayim Besosin. That was the Mayim HaTachtoinim, but there was also a Mayim El Yoinim, that from which Yoina was able to be Shoyev Ruach HaKodesh. So there was Ruach HaKodesh that happened at that time, but the significance, the Nusach of this Ruach HaKodesh was that all the Yidden that came, and Yidden, that throughout their lives, we all give up, everyone does, gives up for other people and all the chassadim that people try to do, whether it's their family, it doesn't matter who it is. But when a person's ruchnius is not just him, but his orbit, his va'ani, on a ruchniistic level, is something that encompasses other people, he doesn't lose out from that. You don't lose out from trying to help someone else and be mechazik somebody else in a ruchniistic way. There is no hefsid from that. And the time where that midah is nisayir so strongly is the time of Nisach HaMayim. That was the tifkeit of the Ruach HaKodesh and the Madregas. All of a sudden, the Yidden walk in and the Shoyev Ruach HaKodesh. Where is Ruach HaKodesh coming from? This is all the Ruach HaKodesh that the Yidden could have been zeichet to. All the Yidden that gave up their whole lives, whether it's to teach Talmidim or children or Mishpacha, just be mechazik another person, give up an hour here for a Yid to be mekarvim a little bit in any which way. So you don't lose out. So when did you get that? What's the cheshbon? Yeah, at one point did this all even up? Like, what's the payday? The payday was Ushafta Mayim Besasin. At the same time that the Mayim HaTachtoinim was being repaid, and it was getting the schus that it had, like Rashi says in Chumash and Parshas Vayikra, to go on the Mizbeach. It's at that time that there was a Ushafta Mayim Besasin from the Mayim El Yoinim, where the Yidden was Shoyev Ruach HaKodesh, being made whole for all those Madregas of Ruchnias that they didn't get on their own simply because they had given up so much to other people.